Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mentioned earlier in the show, you got to be careful with this Cliff Kingsbury's teams, you know, fall apart at the end of the year. They have at Texas Tech and Arizona, but often it's not about the offense. It's been about the team's defense. Listen to this. In back-to-back years, in 2014 and 2015, late in the season, as his team started to lose games, they after starting pretty quick, they gave up 82 against TCU 1 year. And in 2015, they lost a game at Oklahoma against number 12 Oklahoma State, 70-53. They won games 59-44 more times than not, you know, at least three or four times. Even the Cardinal team that went to the postseason that lost a bunch of games at the end of the year, they were giving up 30-plus in five of their last six losses. So we care about his offenses more than we care about the team's results when he was a head coach. You know, they were 3-1 in 2016 and then lost a bunch of games, but 66-59, 45-37, 45-44. And then they won a game 54-45. I mean, that's Big 12 football, you know, during those years. Do we have Ben? We got Ben? Oh, we have Ben Standig. Ben Standig's with us because he's with us every Monday at 12 o'clock. First Monday that we haven't had a game to talk about since the Cincinnati Monday night game. We were previewing game that particular day. For you, it must have been nice just to have a weekend off, and you'll have another one coming in a few weeks.
Yesterday was the first Sunday that I got to enjoy like the games without having to do other stuff, because even with the Monday with Cincinnati, I had to fly that day to Cincinnati, so I couldn't do that. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good year to have Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Buffalo as the main games. That was a lot of fun. And, yeah, I did not mind doing the couch thing.
Did you learn anything about our team, Washington, by watching Baltimore and Pittsburgh?
Well, I think that, I don't know about learning it, but I think it helped sort of reinforce what I'd already thought, same with the other games, is that, you know, look, this has obviously been a year that none of us really saw coming to this degree, starting 7-2, you know, whatever the hopes for Jaden Daniels were, he's clearly exceeded them, certainly the team has, and so on. But, you know, it ultimately does come down to me, the talent pool. And, you know, Washington has done this. I think the coaching staff has done a really good job. The players have played with a lot of energy and effort, especially the first, say, seven games or so. They were making a few mistakes and they didn't have too many injuries. All those things are starting now to pile up. And, you know, they just need more talent. You know, I mean, the other teams just have, you know, just playmakers, you know, kind of all over the place, you know. We could debate where Jaden Daniels fits into the quarterback rankings at this point, but you know, the defense doesn't have a TJ Watt, obviously, right? On offense, there's some good players, but they need more speed and just pure playmaking across the board. And that's not something that comes overnight. Like, I'm not remotely knocking the organization. That we know they started from, kind of the bottom and have had to work their way back up, and this is only the first year of that. But, yeah, I mean, I think to me that's – and, again, it even highlights in the games that they have played, right? The teams that that made the playoffs last year that they have faced are the ones that they have lost to. And, it takes time, but you got to get – especially on offense, I just think the lack of speed is just so evident when you watch some of these other games. And, they're just going to have to get more as time goes on.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, is that it's very clear that offensively they're going to need and they're going to have to be in search of a number two receiver when we get to the offseason. They need somebody else opposite Terry that is a legitimate threat. Not every team has two number ones or two really good ones, but it's better to have that than the alternative, because it's not like your calling card is to rush the football 35 times for 4.5 to 5 yards per carry either. I think one of the things, and I didn't mention this earlier when Denton and I were talking about it, I kind of just looked at the Pittsburgh team and said that's just an excellent team defensively. I actually think Philadelphia might even be better defensively with the way they're playing right now. But they took the ball away 3 times. They're a havoc wreaking tough defensive football team that can handle a dual threat quarterback as they did yesterday with Lamar. And you look back to a week ago Sunday and people were alarmed, and is it the health, is it his ribs, what is it? Well, he played insanely well against the Giants and the Bears, and he didn't have his best game against Pittsburgh and then had his worst game against Philadelphia. It's not lost on me that those were two excellent defensive teams. But I think one of the things that I didn't mention earlier, and you kind of made me think about it, is that Washington's really been a team that has been disciplined, well-coached, and hasn't beaten themselves. Yes, you had the Zacchaeus fumbled punt, which wasn't, great. But for the most part, for 11 weeks, they've been a highly disciplined team that doesn't, commit these 3 to 4 back-breaking errors during games. I mean, Baltimore did yesterday, although I think a lot of it was forced. But I think that's a good sign. You say what to that?
Yeah, no. I mean, look, I think when you're a team, again, I'm not trying to to bash them. Think of it like an NCAA tournament team. And I don't want to say that Washington it is like some massive Cinderella and going up against the Dukes and Kentuckys. But just like in order for those teams to pull off those upsets, to a degree, they have to play lights out. They got to make their threes. They got to limit the turnovers. They have to have the game flow go their way, et cetera. And I think Washington did a great job of that the first 7 weeks. Again, they were really limiting their turnovers. Jaden is still, throwing 3 interceptions? I mean, that's a pretty phenomenal number. And that was it 5 turnovers, I want to say, on the year? It was pretty – the whole thing is
– No, 5. 5 now. Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously those are pretty impressive numbers. Now, those are the type of things that can be a little bit fluky. It's not like they haven't put the ball on the ground. It's just they've been fortunate to recover it. But, okay, that was going their way. They were playing disciplined football, generally speaking, across the board. And then, again, the injuries, for the early part of the year, they were, largely pretty good. From maybe the point of losing John Allen, it started to – creep in more. The guys are missing a game here and there, but other teams have probably still had it a lot worse. All that is great, and they need all that because, again, as they themselves have pointed out at times, this is not the most pure talented team out there. So because of that, and then I think combined, this is with the Dan Quinn aspect of this, playing for each other, playing hard, we're going to play a certain way, you're going to know when you play us because we're going to be aggressive and all that. All that is huge, too. Not everybody's going to get up for every game emotionally. We see that all the time in sports, not just the NFL.
And they have.
And they have. Even in this last game with Philly, the defense was flying around all over the place. So they've had that. And those are the things that have kept them going here and why they've probably exceeded expectations because of that. Now, but again, then when they've met some of the better teams is where they've had their issues. or at least come on the short end of things. You know, as we know, the good thing is that on paper, the schedule is pretty light down the stretch. So if they're able to keep up, you know, this energy and effort, that should go a long way. I think the biggest thing that's been most impressive to me is not just the seven wins, is that when they've gone up against these sort of maybe say equal or lesser teams, they've been murdering them. You know, the Clevelands, the Carolinas, you know.
Yeah, two close calls against the Giants. But yes, you're right. The Cardinals win right now looks like the most impressive win of the season.
Right. And even the Giants' last game, it was 5 points. But, like, you know, they were kind of up, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
They were kind of up.
They were two scorers at one point in the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, so I just think all that shows a team with a lot of effort. It's just that when you match that.
Agreed.
Yeah, then it's talent versus talent, and that's where they're coming up short.
Talking to Ben Standig, of course, from The Athletic. Ben can be followed on X at Ben Standig. Ben's got a podcast called Last Man Standig, which you can get wherever you get a podcast. What are we going to learn today about Marshon Lattimore? Do you have a guess?
Well, I don't know if we'll learn anything today, right? They don't have to officially put up.
What are we going to learn this week? Is he going to play against Dallas
yeah.
or not?
I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously we'll have to see. It didn't look like he was particularly close. Like, there was not, like, a real sign or suggestion that he was close. And that, you know, unlike in recent weeks where they had, you know, Brian Robinson or Andrew Wiley and they made decisions at the last minute, I don't know that we're that close. But that said, maybe they understood that. Maybe they're not, you know, they looked ahead and said, okay, you know, let's not rush him for the Philly game on a short week. In fact, let's give that extra, you know, week or so to get him really ready. So you'd like to think he's got a chance to play this week. You know, it didn't get the sense that the injury was like some long-term deal. Of course, if he misses this, then this would be a third game in a row. No, a fourth game in a row, including the Saints. So you'd like to think he's available, but, you know, we don't know. Obviously, if he's not, then, yeah, you know, the benefits of having him for this year, you know, start shrinking. If there's not a lot of places on this team where there's upside to say, hey, if you do this, then you're going to get some really benefits out of this, except for him. His addition, Lattimore's addition, is the one that could be a bit of a game changer just because of what it can do for the defense. You know, it allows them, they've been playing, you know, Jeremy Chinn more in the box of late, but now they could do so with a cornerback who, in theory, doesn't need a lot of help on his side. Maybe that helps the run defense to that degree. If you don't have to have somebody, you know, focused over there, you know, you can have people you know, more dialed into what's going on the ground game and so on. So, yeah, and not to mention, you know, he's healthy, better than what they have a corner. So, you know, you put all that together, and that's a way to get some potential big upgrades across the defense. But obviously, he's got to play, and until he does, you know, we can't say for sure what's going to happen.
So where do you think Jaden Daniels is right now health-wise? I know we talked about this on Friday, but you've probably had a chance to think about it, maybe watch the game from non-stadium point of view. What's your latest thinking on his health?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, you know, based on like how we all kind of watch sports and how things have been a little bit different for him since the injury, I mean, it's reasonable to think something is going on, right? They're giving him, I don't know, what is it, a flak jacket or something, right? He's wearing something, some kind of protection. But okay, that can happen. You know, even if you have, even if it's not a big deal, he's playing. I don't imagine they're going to risk his health just for the sake of a game or two. So, you know, I assume he's fine, and whatever he's dealing with is just sort of normal wear and tear that NFL players have to deal with. And he has suggested that. Dan Quinn has suggested that. So I do kind of buy into that. But at the same point, you know, he's not, you know, even if we say that Pittsburgh and Philadelphia did a good job defensively of hemming him in and not letting him run too much, you know, he still also hasn't run too much. And it's not like he's been, you know, and everybody was happy to see anytime he goes down quickly because nobody wants to see him get hit. Does seem like when he has been, or, you know, on the move a little bit, he's getting down a little bit quicker. So something seems a bit off. But like as you said before, that Giants game, he looked pretty good. And that was after, you know, after the 2 games after the injury, after the Bears game, right? I mean, he still looked, some of the throws he was making were still the ones that were just like, oh, my Lord, look at that play. And then he went up against 2 defenses that are a lot better than the Giants and most of the other teams that they faced this year. So it is a weird dynamic. I guess I'm leaning towards, if you make me say, that the injury is just sort of what players deal with, you know, pain and so on, and he's working through it. But he just happened to be going up against good teams, and that's kind of what's hampering him in the offense right now.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I feel. I think that if he had played that way and just say against the Bears and the Giants, and the Bears defense wasn't that bad, but let's just say he had played that way against the Panthers and the Giants in back-to-back games. Those were the last two, and the first two were Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Then I'd feel much differently. I've watched a lot of NFL footballs. We all have. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are really good on defense, really good on defense. And I just think if he's not 100, feeling like you said, 100%, and it's just kind of the wear and tear of the season with along with maybe some sore ribs, I don't think they'd have him out there if there was a chance that he wasn't close enough to 100% health. I don't think they would have. But anyway, Dallas is up next, and the NFC. You know, I went through kind of the standings with Seattle beating San Francisco, the Rams eking out a win, Atlanta falling back, but Green Bay, you know, holding on, and Minnesota winning. You know, I'm starting to think as I look at this, 10-7 should be safe therein as a wild card team regardless. And I still think they're not out of the division race either because Philly's got, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. They've got some tough games coming up. But I am now thinking they got to get 2-10. You know, they got to win 3 of their final 6, and that should be good enough. Any less than that puts them in harm's way. What do you think the path to the postseason is?
Yeah, you know, obviously we never, you know, you never want to assume anything, but you look at the schedule, the 2 Dallas games and the Titans game, boy, I mean, they're going to be favored in those, and like on paper, if they continue to play with the same energy and effort they have, you know, those should be games that they can win. And then, you know, if you get that gets you to 10, and then you have the second Philly game at New Orleans and Atlanta. New Orleans, I think, is, you know, playing better than their record suggests because Derek Carr is now back. So that's the thing. You know, I think a big result yesterday was San Francisco losing to Seattle, because if San Francisco had won that game, they would only be a half game behind Washington for the last wild card spot. Now, 3 teams in the NFC West are 5-5. So Washington goes 3-3 to get to 10. Those teams have to go 5-2 to get to 10. So obviously they're all, you know, based on their histories, you know, sure, it's conceivable, but, you know, that's a much tougher road to head when you're only 5-5 now. So I think that loss by the Niners is a pretty big deal for Washington. So, yeah, I mean, you know, winning those 3 games I just mentioned against Dallas and Tennessee, and then, you know, tacking on one more would be good, or at least, you know, if you go 2, somehow, you know, you split with Dallas because weird things happen in division games, and you win one of those other ones, you still get to 10. So it does feel like they should be good in that regard. I think this is maybe the last part of the where the previous 20 years makes me think, oh boy, I remember when they just had to beat the Giants week 18, the Giants team with not much to play for, and they lost the game, et cetera. So they should be in good shape, but I do think, you know, this game against Dallas, I think will probably give us a good feel for where they're at mentally, because again, on paper, this should be a win, not to mention it's the, you know, the division thing, and Dan Quinn, I'm sure, will say, hey, I want to beat my old team and all that kind of stuff. If they come out and, you know, take care of business as they have against other lesser teams this year, then I think that 10 wins looks pretty pretty safe bet. Again, knock on wood for assuming anything.
Yeah, it's funny. I want San Francisco to win the division, because Arizona, if you're in a potential battle with them, you own the head-to-head with them. You didn't play the Rams, Seattle, or San Francisco. You pummeled the Cardinals. But we'll see. There's so much football left. Washington's got a really good conference record. Looking at some of the common opponent stuff, it would work in their favor. But right now, it's about beating a team that they absolutely should beat Sunday. Dallas short week, Washington off the mini bye. Dallas terrible. I mean, legit terrible. Washington's the biggest favorite they've been over the Cowboys since the season finale in 2007, when Dallas had nothing to play for. All right. What else? Anything else that I didn't ask you about that is pressing?
I don't know about pressing. I do wonder, you know, they, for the most part, right? Am I right? They haven't really made a ton of personnel changes or lineup changes without, you know, besides the injury, besides injuries leading to that. And I do wonder, like, are there things that they would look to do for, right? You know, I mean, obviously, like, well, I mentioned on my podcast, I don't remember yours, but like the idea of, like, is there upside with Ben Sinnott to give him more reps and take a little bit away from Zach Ertz, who does a very good job of getting open, but there's no yards after the catch with him. Of the, going into this week, of the 29 tight ends with at least 30 targets, he was ranked 29th in yak. But that doesn't mean Ben Sinnott's the answer either. But to that end, the other guy I'm thinking about in that regard is, you know, Luke McCaffrey. You know, it feels like he's constantly close to a big play, but that never quite happens. He's a guy that runs in the 4.4s. He's got a little size. You know, you mentioned, we talked before about having that second receiver. I think Noah Brown has been sort of established as the guy they're using the most, and not that he's a pure number two receiver. I don't know that Luke McCaffrey is the answer. He may still just need more time either. But as I'm looking at ways to see where is their upside, where is their potential to, with what they have, get more playmaking, get more, you know, upside. Those are two that just sort of stand out. I don't know defensively that I see a ton. Again, Lattimore will be the big move. And, you know, like I said, I especially just on offense, I'm just trying to see where is a way for them to get more something on the field, more speed, more size, more whatever. Like, or, you know, I think that to me is, you know, if we're going to talk about this purely as the playoffs, forget all the other aspects of it from, like, they're still learning and whatever. That's what I kind of wonder, what could they do? They just don't have a ton of options anywhere, but those are two that at least some degree stand out to me should they want to, you know, lean that way.
I love the McCaffrey thing, because it just seems to me, especially when I watch the games a second time, he is open. And I think he gets open more. Sometimes it's because of a more advantageous matchup, too, in terms of who's covering him. I've been saying for, I think, 3 weeks, I'm expecting there's going to be a game in which he's got, you know, 7 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown at some point. But the Ertz-Sinnott thing, you know, remember early in the season, and maybe even into the middle portion of the season, they actually ran a couple of plays for Sinnott. They obviously want to see him with the ball in his hands. And we saw that one play going back to preseason. I think it was against the Jets, where, you know, he broke about 18 tackles, you know, on a big yards after catch. But I'll tell you what, Jaden definitely has kind of a safety blanket opportunity with Ertz. Ertz gets open. Ertz is going to be where the play is, you know, tells him he's supposed to be, or what the defense dictates. I would guess that he's been targeted more than anybody other than Terry, I don't know. Noah Brown's been targeted a lot for the number of snaps he's been in there, I'm going to guess. And yeah, there's no yak, but there's a bunch of first down catches with him. So I would guess that if Sinnott was really right now, I'm not saying he won't be, a massive upgrade in terms of playmaking ability after the catch, I think we'd be seeing him even more.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, like I said, I'm just trying to find where places that could
second
that happen.
Targets, by the way. Terry 68, Ertz 61.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if to that end, then, you know, maybe there's, it's not that they don't use two tight ends with Ertz and Bates. Maybe it's almost to the point of just leaning into it even more to an extent, right? I mean, again, there is no obvious second receiver, let alone third receiver. The two running backs probably need to be on the field as much as possible. And, you know, having two tight ends helps you with the run game as well. And, again, obviously Ertz and Bates are not going to stretch the field, but, you know, they're two big targets. They're both capable pass catchers. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe that's the way to go. Lean into the what strengths you have. And I think ultimately that's sort of my point. Like, okay, Kingsbury, I think, has done a really good job taking the pieces that he has and trying to figure out what's the best way to maximize these players. But, you know, now maybe it's like, okay, here's what we've learned through 11 games. We are this kind of a team, so let's lean into this with the two tight ends and help that way, and, you know, create opportunities with you know, where you guys line up or camouflaging plays or whatever. Maybe that's what they do instead of having the third receiver, but that's what I think is intriguing going forward here is what, and this ties into the whole notion of Kingsbury seems regressing and so on, is that, you know, what's the adjustment? I mean, at a minimum, it's fair to say teams are starting to adjust to what Washington is doing. So what's the counter to that? And how do you,
well, you got to have really good defensive teams to be able to, you know, have a counter to what they've done. And I just don't know that they're going to have Tennessee's decent defensively, and they got Philly again. I think that's part of it, is that the personnel on the last two teams they've faced, they could employ what they've learned watching Washington and have it work. Not everybody will. I think actually, you know, when you're looking for, and maybe the touch count for Eckler is the right number based on getting the most out of him, but in terms of the guy that does the most with the football in his hands after he has it, it's Eckler more than anybody else on the team. I mean,
yeah,
is he
yeah.
touching it enough?
You know, again, it's a fair question. I think it's sometimes with him, I do think it's, you know,
More is more.
Yeah. I don't think you want to, but, like, you know, when you have a healthy Robinson and you've got these other pieces, I think it's, you know, I think he's being used a fair amount. And, you know, obviously it's a good counterpunch to the other stuff, right? When you have Jaden, you know, when he's able to break it to the outside, and you have Robinson, you know, hitting the inside the tackles hard. Now Eckler gives you a different look, and he's always the guy, you know, you have the defense looking towards Terry or anything else down the field, and you slip in Eckler underneath, and that's where he's made some good gains. So, you know, again, I think that Kingsbury has done a really good job this year from a tactical perspective. That's just now what's the next step. And I think, you know, they don't have tons of pieces relative to other teams, but they have enough pieces for him to work with, and I think that's where that was interesting. And by the way, it's not just, like you said, the good defenses or the potential kryptonite against them. The good defenses will be there in the playoffs. So these next 6 weeks, obviously you got to get to the playoffs. We get that. But if we're saying 10 wins seems very reasonable, then what? Getting to the playoffs isn't enough. What do you do now when you go up against some of these better teams? And I think that's what they can also use these next six games for.
Right. Good job. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later in the week.
Awesome, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. We'll do some Denton college football recap. There were some interesting games on Saturday. That's for sure. We'll get to that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy.
or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.